And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to kick off a Monday, go relate us on the NBA playoffs. This guy's great job talking basketball with me there in Vero Beach. He's my good friend, Chris Pirtle. Chris, how you doing?
Doing well, Mark. Doing well.
You texted me yesterday on Mother's Day, by the way. Hashtag champs. What was the point of that text, buddy?
It was just a reminder, you know, it was just a reminder, Mark, to remind you and everyone else out there, the champions are still alive. And as a matter of fact, they look better than ever.
You're talking about the Denver Nuggets, where they were down 0-2, going on the road in Minnesota. And everyone, including myself, this knucklehead, Mark Moses, was saying Minnesota's got them. They got them. What happened in game 3 and 4 where Denver got right then?
Well, you know, Denver came out and dropped the hammer. They weren't too happy about what happened the first two games in Denver, and nor should they be. This was a team that had won 14 out of 16 of their last playoff games going back to last year's conference finals. Actually, last year's second round when they eliminated Phoenix. So they were 14-2 in their last 16 games going into this series. And they get just destroyed at home in game one. Same thing happens to them in game two. And people are starting to doubt. Some people are even starting to say this team's going to get swept. I was having my doubts, Mark. I've got to admit it. As much as I think this team could be the next great dynasty, even I was having my doubts. You know, hard not to when you get beat at home as bad as they did. But give these guys credits. Give them credit. They made adjustments. They came back. They scored 115 points last night. It's the same team that only scored 80 points in game two. I think it's a good idea to take Rudy Tomjanovich's advice from 1995, if you've got that queued up, Mark.
Oh, you're going with that, huh? All right, let's play it.
And we had non-believers all along the way. I have one thing to say to those non-believers. Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You had to go with that audio, didn't you?
I thought it was appropriate. And I'll tell you what, these guys showed you why they were champs last night. 57% field goal shooting at Minnesota, who is considered one of the best defensive teams in the league. Mark, I couldn't be more impressed with these guys right now.
What about right before halftime when Denver scored 8 points in 20 seconds? Did you see that with the half-court heave by Jamal Murray?
I think it's about the time I was sending you that text message, hashtag champs, but unbelievable. And you think about this, Mark. What was the difference in the game? 8 points.
Yes.
And they scored 8 points there in about 20 seconds. So that was a heck of an ending to a half. I don't think I've seen an ending to a half of a basketball game like that, maybe ever. That was exciting stuff. And the Nuggets now two games away from potentially returning to the conference finals.
All right, so here's the thing. Denver got off the mat and started throwing haymakers. It's now 2-2. Can Minnesota still win this series, though?
I think I don't think it would be wise for any of us to count out either one of these teams. So, yes, to answer your question, they can. When you've got a player like Edwards, 44 points last night, I think this is his third 40-plus playoff game as far as points go. He is simply sensational. Towns had an off night. He was 5 of 18 shooting last night, so that works out to about 28%. That's not good. You got to figure he's going to be better in future games. Gobert, as much as he's a great defensive player, he is such a liability out there at times. Mm. You look at him trying to shoot free throws, and Mark, just watching him shooting free throws compared to the Joker, who had hit like 17 straight free throws, it's just funny to watch those guys. But to answer your question, Minnesota could still win. This series is far from over.
Do you like where Gobert gets awarded his Defensive Player of the Year trophy before the game, and then the Joker goes out and whips his ass for four straight quarters? Did you like that?
Not bad at all. Yeah, the Joker, 35 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. And you're right, he definitely did that, Mark. And you look at this big three in Denver. You know, Aaron Gordon last night, 27 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, shot the ball 90% from the field. And then Jamal Murray did his thing last night. So this is clearly the best big three in basketball, the defending champions, and I'm really running out of words to describe these guys.
Do you think the difference is that Jamal Murray finally showed up in games 3 and 4?
Yeah, I think he was huge last night. I think he was huge. Was he the only difference? No, because you got to look at what Aaron Gordon did last night with those 27 points and only missed, I think he was 11 out of 12 shooting from the field. And then Christian Braun coming off the bench. I guess it's pronounced Brown, but it's spelled Braun. So excuse me if I butcher his name, Mark. But the guy is sensational off the bench. We saw this last year with him in the playoffs. Last night he comes in, gives you a quick 11 points. Justin Holiday off the bench with 10 points. I mean, they had an all-around team effort, with the exception of Michael Porter, who only scored 4 points last night. So we may not even have even seen the best from the Denver Nuggets last night. That's one of the scary things.
All right, we're here at Chris Poeltl. That was the big win last night. How about the game earlier in the day on Mother's Day? You can call it a Mother's Day massacre if you want. Indiana destroyed the Knicks. Destroyed them. And I'll make a point. The referees were helping the Knicks in the first two games. Like, I'm having all the confidence now that Indiana can win this series. What did you take out of yesterday with that rout of the Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, it tells me this, Mark. I think Indiana simply has better players who can score the ball better than the New York Knicks can. Now, are they going to win the series? That remains to be seen, and I'm not really ready to say the Pacers are going to win the series. But I think they just have superior talent. And another thing I like about this Pacer team, Rick Carlisle seems to get a lot out of a little. He did this in Dallas. We saw it with J.J. Barea in the 2011 finals. Tyson Chandler had his best year as a pro that year. I don't think I have to remind you who Tyson Chandler is. He was drafted by your Chicago Bulls, Mark. But Carlisle gets a lot out of these role players like T.J. McConnell and some of the other ones that the Pacers have playing for them right now. It's an impressive job Carlisle's doing, and we'll see if he can, you know, continue this, and he might end up playing the team that he used to play for in the conference finals.
The Knicks are down a couple guys, but I think what killed them is that game three where they lost by a bucket. I think if they would have gotten game three, they win this series. But I mean, you look at every win this postseason by New York, it's some slugfest, and they win by a bucket or so. I'm taking Indiana now. I just think they have more firepower right now. I think maybe even if you go seven, I think Indiana can win this thing. Who do you like to move on from this series?
Wow. You know, if I have to answer the question, I told you a second ago I wasn't ready to take Indiana, but if I had to take somebody, I would take Indiana. I mean, like I said, I think they have the better players. When you look at Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, McConnell out there playing some good basketball for them, I just think they're a little bit more talented. I like Carlisle as a coach. I also like Thibodeau. Thibodeau is another coach that gets a lot out of a little. I could also, like you, Mark, see this series going seven. But by the time we get to seven, the Knicks might not even have seven players.
I know.
So it's going to be tough.
Look.
It's going to be tough for them. I'll take Indiana.
This is the tough thing to say on air. Thibodeau's teams break down. He goes hard for 82 straight games. They look good. And then by the time they try to get to the finish line, it's like they're in the Civil War. And it's like, you know, all these guys are just, they're falling after a while. That's what it looks like. And it looks like they're falling apart now. So, hey, I know there's a lot of Knicks fans listening right now here in Florida. I know it's going to be gigantic, that game five. Man, I'll tell you, what do you think that crowd's going to be like game five at the Garden where the Knicks are, you know, their backs are against the wall now?
Yeah, they're going to be super lit. There's no doubt about it. And even more so if they get back there for a game seven.
Oh.
They've got a great home court advantage. We already saw one series. You saw a couple games up close, Mark, where the road team did not win a game. And we'll have to see what happens in this series.
Yeah, I thought of you because going back to Denver, Minnesota, the home team hasn't won yet in any of these games. It's wild. It really is.
Now, does that mean, you know, the old term that the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game? Does that mean the Denver-Minnesota series hasn't started yet?
Yes, that's exactly what that means. In reverse weirdo way, it is. That's exactly what it is. We're with Chris Poeltl. Let's go to the other two series. We'll stay with the East. Is Boston just going to handle business now against Cleveland after winning that game three?
You know, you would think so. But stranger things have happened. I wouldn't be surprised if after tonight, Mark, that all four series are tied 2-2. So you never know. Boston, obviously, in my opinion, has superior talent, better team than Cleveland, more playoff experience. But does that mean they're going to win tonight in Cleveland? I don't know. Cleveland, as we know, Mark, has not lost a game in Cleveland yet in the playoffs. They're 4-0 at home. They're pretty tough there. And when you got a guy like Donovan Mitchell, you can never be counted out. So, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we see all four series 2-2 after tonight.
All right. Is this because it's like you like Boston, but you're still not 100% sure on them? Because that's kind of what my gut's saying. Like, right when you believe, then they lay an egg on the court. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I picked them to not even come out of the Eastern Conference this year, which, as I look back on that prediction, Mark, probably not one of my brightest predictions. I've had a couple of clunkers so far in the playoffs, but hey, nobody's perfect, as my old friend Richard Cleveland used to say. But Boston, Mark, superior talent, as I said. Luckily for them, they're in the JV. When you look at the other three teams, Cleveland, Indiana, and New York, it's hard to imagine that any of these could present a real challenge to the Celtics. So as long as they play their game and get good production from their star players like Tatum, Brown, and Drew Holiday plays good defense, they should advance. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to win tonight in Cleveland. It still may have to go 6 or 7 games. But I like the Celtics ultimately to win this series.
All right, we'll go to the other one. And I know you want to chime in on this, Chris Pirtle. How about Luka Doncic, man, and the Mavs getting the last two wins?
The Mavs are impressive, Mark. They're, you know, it's a team that if Denver doesn't win at all, I think Dallas is going to. And Dallas right now, winners of 4 out of their last 5. They're playing as good as anyone, like I said, right now, possibly better. And when you've got a guy like Luka that can seal the deal, and Kyrie Irving, can you believe what we're seeing from Kyrie Irving, Mark?
Yeah.
This guy is going out there and being an ultimate professional and hitting big shots in the fourth quarter and keeping his mouth shut and going about his job. I mean, I am really impressed with what's going on in Dallas right now, and certainly would not be surprised to see these guys in the conference finals and maybe further than that.
Yeah, you think about they lost game 4 at home to the Clippers, and it was 2-2. And you're thinking, uh-oh, they're in trouble. They played great since then. I know they lost game 1 against Oklahoma City, but yeah. And this is what we always see. The teams with the best superstars, if they play well and do their job, yeah, they're going to make deep playoff runs. It's what happens here after a while. All right, let's go to something very important now, because you and me have not had this discussion. Did the Joker deserve to win the 3rd MVP in 4 seasons?
Most definitely. I don't know why or how anybody could say that he didn't. And who else would you have given it to, you know, if you weren't going to give it to the Joker? I heard some of the national talk show guys on some of the national shows say Shane Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a great player and had a great year, but his stats weren't as good as the Joker's. I don't think he even had as many assists as the Joker, and he's a guard, and the Joker is a center. So, no, I think the right guy got it, and I wouldn't be surprised if that same right guy takes away an NBA Finals MVP this year as well.
He averaged, what was it? It was something like 26 points a game, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. He almost averaged a triple-double, buddy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, on about 58%, you know, field goal shooting and about 85% free throw shooting.
Will he ever win the MVP again, though?
I don't know. I mean, if he gives you the little same stats next year, unless Anthony Edwards is scoring 40 points a game, I don't know how he doesn't win it again. But, you know, who knows who's going to develop next year? Brunson may have an incredible year next year as well. So we'll have to see what happens, but I wouldn't say no to that.
There's no way he's winning next year. They're not going to allow that. No way. No way.
How many times did James win the MVP? Didn't he win it like 4 times?
I think a 4 time. And Jordan's won it, what, 5 times? Is that right? And he should have won it more. Yeah, Joker's got 3. So does Larry Bird. Does Magic have multiple MVPs? He does. But he doesn't have that many. That's wild. That really is.
Yeah, I think there's only 5 players all time that have 3 or more, and now the Joker has entered that class.
All right, here's your final question of the day. Did you even know that the draft lottery was on yesterday? Because I had no idea.
No, I didn't. You know, it's weird. I drove from Jacksonville over to where I am now in the Tampa Bay area, over here visiting my mom for Mother's Day. And she likes the Atlanta Hawks. She used to live in Atlanta. So she said, Chris, you know, the Hawks got the number one pick. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And then I figured out, yeah, the draft lottery. So to answer your question, Mark, no, I had no idea.
Isn't that weird? Why did they do that? It's usually, what is it, usually like a Tuesday night or so, or a Wednesday night during the playoff games?
Now that you mentioned it, I don't recall it ever being on Mother's Day or even on a weekend. So, yeah, you're right.
All right. Is this draft going to be so terrible that they said, forget it, we'll put the lottery on a Sunday during Mother's Day?
I don't know. I'm hearing some good things about the guy from France. You know, things have changed so much. You know, think about what I just told you. I'm hearing some good things about a guy from France.
Yes.
You know, 20 years ago, Tim Duncan's coming out of Wake Forest. You know who's going to be the number one pick. So, yeah, it's amazing how things have changed.
That shows you how weak of a draft it is. If you're like, man, this guy from France. And it's not like Wembanyama, who's an alien. It's not. Oh, man, I don't know if I like any of the players in this draft. I feel like the hype is going to start this fall for this Cooper Flagg guy who's going to Duke. He's the number one prospect. He's going to Duke to play for John Shire. And then it'll be the sweepstakes to get him in 2 years. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know what? More that you mentioned it, you're right. No wonder they put this thing on a Sunday and nobody even knew about it.
I love the draft lottery. Does it weird you out that the Magic were not in the draft lottery?
You know what? I thought about you and I thought about, you know, our Magic fan base. It's good that we weren't, and I'm sure that nobody misses it.
So is your mother, she wants the Frenchman with the number one pick? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think she knows who she wants because, heck, her son barely even knows who he wants. So, no, I don't think she knows who she wants, Mark, but she just wants the Hawks to do well. I do know that.
If you're the Atlanta Hawks, do you move on from Trae Young if you get a good offer and then just go younger? Because you've kind of hit the ceiling with Trae Young as your best player.
You know, I don't, because if you're the Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young has been possibly, or, you know, certainly one of your only bright spots over the past 4 or 5 years, and he's still pretty darn young. So why would you just throw up your hand and say, you know what, we haven't gone as far as we wanted to, even though they did make the conference finals just 3 years ago, and which for the Hawks is a heck of an accomplishment. It's the furthest that they've ever gone since they've been in the city of Atlanta for almost over 40 years now.
Yeah.
So why would you just say, nah, we're going to get rid of this guy? But you never know. You never know what general managers are thinking.
The Atlanta Hawks have the worst, no, maybe not worst, they have the weirdest logo in American sports. Maybe this is just me. I never really see the bird in the logo. I always see it differently. And then I really have to pay attention. Then I see the bird in the logo. Am I alone in this idea?
No, you're right. You're right. You know, and I got to meet their mascot. I was up there for a game in 2020, and I got to meet the mascot that day. His name is Harry the Hawk, by the way. And, you know, he looks great in the arena right there, but you're right. You don't see him on their logos. You don't see him on a lot of the pictures. But Harry the Hawk, Mark, if you ever get up to the ATL for a game, make sure you go shake his hand. He's a nice guy.
Dude, I've been by that arena. And the location of the Dominic Wilkins statue is the most bizarre location, where it's in the front, but it's kind of hidden. It's bizarre. Do you know the statue I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I've taken a picture with it a couple times.
Yeah, it is weird. All right. Let's do this. I'm going to bring up for tonight. Let me just make sure I do this real quick here with Chris Poeltl. Always love him coming up to talk NBA basketball. It's Boston and the Cavaliers. Boston's favored by 8.5. Who's going to win?
Cleveland wins by at least 5.
All right, so they go 2-2 at the series. Late game, Thunder at the Mavericks, game 4. Dallas favored by 1.5. Who wins the game?
Dallas is feeling it. Luka needs a break. They got to get rid of these guys in 5 games. Dallas wins tonight.
I'm going to take Boston to win, and I'm going to take the Mavericks to win. So I'll go against you on one of those picks. His name's Chris Poeltl. My man, thank you so much for your help, and I'll never underestimate you as a champion. All right, man?
Yeah, don't ever make that mistake, Mark.